All right, I hit record. I can't see my level. Can you give me a sound test, Joe?
Yeah, you ever heard of my hit single, Whipped Cream? Whipped Cream, put it all over your body.
Yeah, that's really good. I have a song that goes like some I can't remember. Something about Nutella. Anyway, there's my sound test. I sound good.
Hey, you ever heard my other hit single? The love that you have found is a love that you will never find because it is love that is always not able to be found.
That's a good one. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the show. Let me ask you if you guys can tell me what these people have in common. Elvis Costello, Madonna, Kate Bush, Ice-T, Joan Jett, Belinda Carlisle, Simon Le Bon, Nikki Sixx, Andrea Bocelli, Anita Baker, Grandmaster Flash. What do they all have in common? They're all 60. They're all 60 years old, and you know what? So is JBC. This is our 60th episode today. So I want you to get real nasty with yourself, because you know what? A couple old fuckers about to get on your body. I'm dancing in my chair. Yeah.
Dancing on the ceiling, bitch.
Yeah, I'm dancing. I'm not constipated, I'm dancing. Anyhow.
I can see you dancing in my mind.
In your mind. That's how we roll on JBC. Joe, how the heck are you today, brother, cousin, brother?
Doing good. Yeah. The fact that it's the 60th episode,
yeah,
that makes me happy. I was thinking it was 59. I was losing count. I love that little tidbit there. All those people are really 60 years old?
They're going to be 60 this year if they aren't already, yeah. Thank you, Internet.
That's cool.
And, you know, I was looking at them, and their pictures, you know? And there isn't a one on this list that I wouldn't mind getting next to in a certain way. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about?
Physically. Yeah, you mean that they're all sexty?
They're all sexty.
Sexty?
What is it about
fucking
rock and
60
roll?
60 time.
60, that's a nice joke. What is it about being a rock and roll person that just oozes sex? Like, why do people want to screw musicians so much? Like, I was watching some Joan Jett videos, and yeah, they're like 20 years old, but I was just like, damn, woman. Because she's just walking around like, you know, eating a cheeseburger. She's all right, I guess, but she's up on stage and she's working it. I was getting sweaty. What's the deal? You're a musician, Joe. Why do people want to have copious amounts of sex with you?
Well, just to get this out of the way, welcome to the music episode. It's I think maybe it's our third, maybe fourth music episode.
Yeah. There for a while, like all of our episodes were music episodes. We couldn't shut up about it.
Yeah. It's a lot of our themes just jump in and interfere with the theme that we're trying to do. That's kind of how we work. But anyway, this is intentionally a music episode, and you've already dived in. Dove in. I like dived better.
I plunged.
Plunged.
Yeah.
This is the thing. What is the sexuality that seems to be just attached to rock and roll? Probably music itself. As I understand, Mozart was just...
He boning them left and right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he just... It doesn't matter. There's something about being an excellent musician that just attracts the opposite sex, or, you know, depending
same
on
sex.
What you're. Yeah. Depending on who. Look, if you're Freddie Mercury.
You got a lot of. Yeah.
But he was attracting everything and everybody all the time because he was an excellent musician. There's something very sexually powerful, powerfully attractive about it.
I saw Rasputina.
And you're asking me what it, and you're saying, Joe, what is that?
Yeah. Here's my theory.
And as a Taco Bell manager,
yeah,
I might have, you know, something to say about that. I might have a perspective that is, I don't know, that might shine some light on it. But I can tell that you have something to say. What is your perspective?
Yeah, I'm chomping at the bit here, aren't I? I saw Rasputina in concert. Are you familiar with this group, Rasputina? Rasputina?
No, but I like the name.
They are an all cello punk rock band. And there's a drummer,
but they play a mean cello, and you know they're all girls. At least every time I've ever heard them or they've recorded, everybody except the drummer is a female, and they're sitting on their chairs, and they're not dressed provocatively. Actually, I think the main person in Rasputina, the one who like runs it all, who writes the songs and everything, I think she's got this sort of turn of the century or late 19th century clothes vibe she's doing. It's sort of like proto hipster. Anyway, it's not revealing clothes, but
the music is punk in the style totally of punk. Is that what you're telling me?
It's really you should listen to it sometime. It's freaking awesome. And what I'm getting at is watching the amount of control this little tiny woman has over this great big instrument. I mean, she is in control. And that's my theory. I think people look at musicians and they see all that confidence, all that control, and they're like, I want, and really they're saying, I want you to play me the way you're playing that instrument. I think that's what it is.
Well, and from a male perspective, actually, I have a lot to say about this.
Yeah.
The fact that you're like, okay, music, sex, there's a connection there. Well, yeah. You went directly to this band that not only is playing punk music, and there's a lot of kind of aggressive energy there, and sex oftentimes is aggressive and passionate in that way. Okay. So that's one thing. But to see a tiny, beautiful woman straddle a cello.
Yeah, okay.
Now, if they're playing it well, that's even better. But it's just women straddling things. women straddling a cello. I mean, I've always thought that that was just sexy as hell. Yeah. That's great. And if they're playing punk, it's one thing if they all had. Actually, I would find this sexy too, but if they're like, hey, we're a punk band. Yeah, there's cellos. It's all cellos and there's a drummer. And the way that we dress is as punks. So we're all hot chicks. We're straddling cellos and we have 2 foot tall mohawks and nose rings. And that would kind of turn me on too. But you're saying they're doing the aesthetic, the visual aesthetic is different. They're playing punk, but visually they look like they're doing a period piece.
Kind of, yeah. This sort of post-Victorian kind of west on the edge of the Wild West. I don't know. You have to look it up. I'm probably getting it all wrong.
Okay. But. No, I'm envisioning something. I don't know if it's correct. But I wanted to tell you a little piece from my own life.
Yeah.
I was in a band for, I don't know, maybe 3 hours. We did play a show. Maybe we were a band for like 2 weeks or something. We were in a band long enough to where we played a show. And it was me, another guitar player, a percussionist, and this woman who was severely attractive.
Severely.
And she played the cello. And the name of the band was called Points of Light, which I thought was interesting. She came up with that name too. And I just thought the whole thing was fun, but there's something about a woman and a cello. Mm-hmm. If there's an intense, good-looking, especially petite, let me say that. There's something about that, a big old cello and a tiny little woman.
Yeah.
Damn. And looking back on it, in retrospect, like, I think that was one of the reasons why I was getting involved with her, and then we ended up dating a little bit too. So like there was, I don't know what my real motives were there, but I think the music was pretty good.
Okay.
Anyway, Points of Light.
Points of Light.
And then we have Rasputina.
Yeah.
I love that because isn't that a play on the name of Rasputin?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's really good. And if we're going to name bands that I'm aware of that have cellos in them, another favorite of mine is a band called Darling Violetta. And they, they're a rock and roll, they're sort of got a goth punk thing going on, and they have a cello in their band, but otherwise they got guitar, bass, drums, and Darling Violetta apparently is from I don't know, some old timey actor, Bela Lugosi or the Chaney guy, what's his name, Lon Chaney, wrote letters.
Yeah,
or maybe it was Edgar Allan Poe wrote, no it wasn't him, but somebody would write letters to his beloved and would say Darling Violetta, and so they're like, we're gonna call ourselves that. They have a chill in the band.
I like that. That's really cool.
Yeah, kind of a neat little more little tidbits. Of course, all this stuff is like in my distant, distant past. Like I was into Rasputina and Darling Violetta back in the like the early 2000s. And I still like them, don't get me wrong. But nowadays, lately, and I want to ask you what you're listening
around,
to.
Are they still around, Jason? Are they still
Rasputina
around?
Rasputina is. I don't know about Darling Violetta. Because they were definitely way on the obscure end of indie back then. And I don't know.
Well, I like the indie thing.
Yeah, I do too. And this was
Now that I'm getting a little older, is that even still a thing?
It is, absolutely.
That seemed to be. In fact, it turns out the band – couple of the bands that you were in
oh, yeah.
Shit. Pull it together. A couple of the bands that I played in were categorized as indie bands, so now that I'm turning into, I'm not literally a grandpa, but I'm called grandpa all the time the millennials at my job.
Okay.
Because I say things like, I don't mean to be tangential, but I say stuff like, you know, I think that really dovetails and they go, did you just say DuckTales? And I'm like, no, dovetails. They're like, grandpa. I'm like, what? And then I think,
don't you hate it? Sorry, I'm gonna go off another tangent. Don't you hate it when people insult you because they are ignorant? It's like, I don't know what you said, and therefore I'm gonna insult you. It's like, fuck you, kid. Look, go get a dictionary, you little shit. Sorry. Anyway, go ahead. Dovetails.
But here's this is what really threw me off, and it rendered me speechless actually, because I was giving a speech. Well, kind of a pep talk to my millennial staff, mm-hmm. as the manager of, you know, the third best Taco Bell in Davenport, Iowa. I was like, hey, let's make these fucking tacos, guys. You're slipping. We need to do this. And I was like, the thing is, washing lettuce is important. Forming the taco is very important. Running the drive-thru. Very important.
Real important.
All of these tasks dovetail together, and they go, dovetail? Did you just say DuckTales? And I was like, no, you fucking idiots. I said dovetail. And they said, I thought you said DuckTale, Grandpa. And I'm like, and then this is when I was rendered speechless, because it occurred to me, you're too young to know what fucking DuckTales is. How can you misconstrue dovetail with DuckTales when DuckTales is also a fucking grandpa thing? If I brought up DuckTales, if I started singing the DuckTales song, DuckTales, woo, they'd be like, what is that, grandpa? Well, so I just shut the fuck. I was like, you know what? Meeting over. Make tacos as good as you can. I'm going home. Fuck you.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's the way it is with these kids these days and the music they listen to. No, I think the bands I'm talking about were on the edge of the MP3 era. So ostensibly, okay, they could be around still if they decided to move in that direction. And I think nowadays, pretty much everybody who isn't on Top 40 radio is indie, because you can make your own albums. You can record and publish them and stuff. Like, I'm getting into bands who do tour around, but I had never heard of them before, and apparently they've been around for a long time. Now, I'm an ignorant asshole, so there's that, but I think it also said something about the music world we live in, that there's so much out there that has always been there, but you don't know about it, because the only way you get to know about it is via the internet and has to compete with everything else. Like, lately, I know I'm babbling, but I'm just excited. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of desert rock. Are you familiar with this genre, Joe? Desert rock?
No, but this is – I want to express my excitement about this, because when we do music episodes, oftentimes you will bring up – I get excited because you're a little bit more in the loop – that you're in the loop. You look for new bands. Like, you have a consistent enthusiasm to find new music, and I'm not that way anymore, and that kind of bums me out. But I can live vicariously for you, through you, and then you – you find these weird new bands, and then I listen to them, and I'm like, fucking A, yeah. Like, you've got really good taste in music. So I was excited to hear about new bands, and you're saying desert rock is a thing.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what that means, so go ahead.
Okay, well,
what the hell is it?
So just – I'll say this. Look, it's not that I'm so awesome at finding stuff. I mean, I hear a band I like, and then I, like, create a Pandora station, and Pandora says, well, if you like that, you'll like this. And I'm like, you're fucking right.
Yeah, robots create the association for
absolutely,
you.
Yeah.
That happens to me all the time, yeah. Like, but okay, go ahead.
I can't remember. I was listening to I think it was Gary Clark Jr. And mm-hmm. and then that shifted over to some bluesy stuff, and the bluesy stuff got a little bit more reverby. And then I was listening to Radio Moscow, and the Moscow led me to Glow Sun, and Glow Sun led me to this whole freaking desert rock thing, and that's where I came across Earthless, who were freaking amazing. And so here's what desert rock is. It's also called stoner rock. You probably heard of stoner metal.
Oh yeah, well, one of my favorite bands is supposedly categorized as stoner rock. That Queen of the Stone Age. Yeah, you know, they're a big band, but I really like that band. One of my favorite albums is from that band. You're telling me that there's an overlap there? Desert rock, stoner rock.
Yeah, so I think desert rock is what they would prefer to be called, not stoner rock. Mm-hmm. And I think if I got this right, if somebody can fact check me, I think Queen of the Stone Age has got dudes in it that were in. I'm going to say this wrong. Caius. And they're sort of like the proto.
I wanted
proto...
to jinx you there. Did we do it?
No, we didn't. I don't know. Maybe we did. They're sort of the proto stoner / desert rock. And according to Wikipedia, what we're talking about is, let's see, rock music that fuses elements of heavy metal and or doom metal, psychedelic rock, and acid rock. So it's
That's the explanation.
That's what it says.
And who got to define that? Okay, I don't want to go on a tangent here, but when you read Wikipedia, somebody got to make this definition. Mm-hmm. Somebody wrote that definition, and now we all are going to take it seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think I agree with it. I don't want to take you out. Continue.
All I'm getting at is that I like it because I like music without words. You know, I hate words. I'm a writer and I hate words. We can have a whole episode about that if you want. And so
I'm a musician and I hate music most of the time. That's why I listen to podcasts all the time. If I listen to music, oh Jesus Christ!
Fuck it. I think most lyrics are insipid and stupid, and we can again talk about that. But a lot of this stuff I listen to is just all instrumental, and I really like. I've probably said this before. When I listen to music, I don't even like melody. I don't want a developed melodic like story being told that develops, you know, and goes through key changes and kind of resolves back to itself. I mean, that stuff's fine. I really like classical music, and that's of course, you know, the sonata form, and most rock and roll songs are even based on the sonata form. That's how it sort of works, but I prefer it when just a band hits a heavy riff and then just plays that riff for a while, and then maybe they'll switch to another riff and play that one for a while.
And that explains why you like Tool. And
exactly, yeah.
Of course, there is singing and there is melody and there are lyrics in Tool, but you can never call those lyrical endeavors insipid or stupid. No. Well, some people could, but then I would call them stupid.
Yeah.
That's just because we like Tool, right, Jason?
Exactly. I'm very biased. Yeah.
but you know what? If you listen to a Tool album, you're probably in for a good 10-minute stretch from time to time of just like meditative riffage.
Yeah.
Is that a make a button out of that?
Yeah,
I like what I just
I'm going to write it down. Maybe that's what we'll call the show today.
Meditative riffage.
We're going to call today's show meditative. I'm writing it down. Meditated riffage. That is a great name for our
60th and Tool can give you that. And there are entire bands that are devoted to that, like Neurosis.
Yes.
Are you familiar with them? They're not nearly as good as Tool. Their riffs are interesting, and you can like zone out on it. And there's no words, and it's cool. And then their videos are basically like a kaleidoscope trip fest, just visual fests. Along with the riffs. I feel maybe they were made for the angrier the angrier people that eat mushrooms.
Angry mushroom eaters.
I'm not sure.
Well, I've been into this
a weird thing. Like if you're a mushroom person or you're taking acid all the time, that's and you're angry, I would like to warn anybody and everybody that's into that just away from it. Just I want to direct you away from that. That's a fucking bad way to go. Anyway,
it's a bad way to go. Yeah, so lately I've been into desert rock. Like I said, one of my favorite new bands is new to me is Earthless, because they have songs that are literally 30 minutes long. I mean, Joe, can you imagine a song that's there's not a melody. We're not talking who's that surfing with the alien fucker with the guitar? Joe Satriani, is that him? I get all those guys confused. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I like that stuff too. That dude, he plays a good guitar. But this isn't virtuosity here. This is just the guitar players or the drummers, just they're hate fucking each other. It's awesome. And it's 30 minutes long. But let me read you what I wanted to do here, and then we'll move on to other genres, Joe. And I want you to talk at length because you have no more of this audio. I'm going to read you the names of desert rock or stoner rock bands that were suggested to me to check out. And if you know any of them, say something, or if you think the name's funny, and I'll go through them as quickly as I can. And when you get tired, because I've got a lot of them here, but just I just love these names. Okay, so I hate words, but I love these names.
I'm excited.
Okay,
okay, good.
And I'm just no particular order. This is how it's told to me. Okay, Grails, Del Rey, Tia Carrera, Zebulon Pike, Grand Loom, Black Bombame, 35007, Causa Sui, Eagle Claw, Los Natas, Monomyth, Nitro Seed, Resin Space Collective, Poseidotica, Pyramidal, Rotor, Stinking Lizaveta, My Sleeping Karma, Fives, Continuing Research Project, Ufa Mammoth, Omega Massive, Pharaoh Overlord, Heavy Blanket, Black Bombarians, Core, Third Ear Experience, Egocentrics, Anjo Gabriel, Ampacity, The Cosmic Dead, Electric Moon, The Machine, Yuri Gagarin, Sons of Alpha Centauri, Voodoo Chillum, The Reed Stone, Morgue of Saints, Monobrow, 6 Months of Sun, Bone Jackal, Krieger, It's Not Night, It's Space, Serpent Throne, Harsh Toke, Plankton, Tumbleweed Dealer, Squid Lord, Earth, The Groundhogs, Domodora, Son of Man, Samsara Blues Experiment, Ancestors, Osric Tentacles, Hydria Space Folk, Tondra, Monk, Russian Circle, If These Trees Could Talk, Karma to Burn. These are the names of the bands that you need to check out. All of them. Go.
Wow. I almost interrupted you a couple of times. Here's the thing. I've maybe heard of 8 of those bands. I've heard the, like, Osric Tentacles. I've heard of that band before.
Okay.
All
right.
I don't know if I've heard them.
Okay.
I got really caught up in my mind as a former semi-professional musician.
Mm-hmm.
To soak that in for a minute.
Okay.
I'm not a musician anymore. I used to be a semi-professional musician, which is kind of an embarrassing place to be when you're out there really fucking trying.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, people are paying you money, but certainly not enough to pay your rent. It's a rough place to be. Now, you just rattled off 35 bands, maybe?
Something like that. I can count them for you real quick. I rattled off, yeah, about 60.
Oh, that was 60?
Okay. Yeah, I went through them pretty quickly.
Well, that speaks to how I zoned out, and this is what I was thinking.
Like you should. That's what stoner rock is all about, baby.
Right. No, actually, wow, that's apropos. That's what's supposed to happen. Now, look, when I was zoning out, this is what I was thinking, is that all these bands, you know, have they ever hit the, you know, top 100 on the Billboard? Do they tour? Perhaps. How much I started thinking, because I'm traumatized by my experience as a musician. When you're playing shows actively and you have a little bit of a following, and a couple of the bands that I was in did, and that feels good, but it doesn't pay well. And I just wonder, all 60-something of these bands that you rattled off, how many of these people are making a living? Can you look? You don't know all these bands. These are bands that were recommended to you. But can you look through that list and even pick 5 where you're sure those people are living on their music? Their music is paying them enough to live. I'm worried about musicians. I know really good musicians, technically just mind blowing musicians, that need side jobs. It just doesn't fucking work. It's a terrible – it's almost like being good at sports. You know, only a very, very top sliver of people that play sports can make money off of it and live. And those people do more than just live. They make shitloads of money. Well, I think rock and roll, even stoner rock, desert rock – my apologies. It's the same thing. How many of these people are making a good living? And I'm not trying to disparage their effort. Mm-mm. That's good for them that they're out there playing music. But like, God damn it. It just sucks that. Am I being too negative?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Jason, make comment.
I'll say this. So Earthless, they're touring right now. And they're going to play a date in St. Louis and then Chicago. Then they're going to go to Belgium, UK, back to the UK, France, and then Germany. Okay. And so I'm guessing that it means they don't got a side job, that you can't really work at the factory.
When you're on a world tour.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good. Like, and by the way, I'm not trying to be a dick. I want all of those bands, all 60 of them, to just be paid to do what they love to do.
Yeah.
The discouraging thought in my head is that, you know, I was in a band and I've even been on tours before. It becomes a temporary situation, and then you have to find a way to actually really make money and survive.
Yeah.
And this is the music episode. I need to be more positive. Okay, that's positive. Kind of a downer.
Let's move into some positive things. I gushed about my favorite thing, what I've been listening to lately. What have you been listening to lately? Or even if it's the same thing you've been listening to for years, what's your thing these days?
Nothing makes me feel more like a grandpa than my relationship with music. Mm-hmm. I think the last music episodes I came up with, I told you the things that I like. I still like the same thing. Like, I don't know if you're on YouTube, I'd like to hear it again. I'm such a grandpa that I've forgotten to enjoy it lately. And, you know, it's, Nico Science.
You mentioned him before. Them? Those?
Maraca to Atomico.
I think it was – maybe it was an after episode. You had me play some when we listened to it, and I liked it.
Nico. It always makes me happy. And it's funny because you like instrumental shit, and so do I. The funny thing is I like music that's in a different language because to me that's pretty much an instrumental.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
How come?
I don't know what the fuck they're saying. And so it's all it's somebody basically that's playing their vocal instrument – without any vocal register that is not any linguistic register in my brain. Okay. And that makes me happy.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I think we have that in common. A lot of times I don't want to hear words that gets irritating. I like to hear people talk, but words set to music has somehow become irritating. Am I fucking 78 or am I 40?
Well, you know, we'll talk about that. You're 78. No, I know what you're saying. I mean, nothing for me. Like, I'll hear a song and I'll like it a lot. And then I'm like, you know, I think I'm going to go find – I think we may have talked about this. I'll go find the lyrics and I'm like, oh, no, the song's stupid. Because before I didn't know what it was about. And now I know what it's about. Hopefully I'm not being redundant. But there's this song called – what's it called? Battlefield by Blind Guardian. Yeah. Blind Guardian. And this song just freaking rocks.
Blind Guardian.
Yeah, they're this sort of like Scandinavian death metal opera band or something like that. And they sing songs about fucking J.R.R. Tolkien and shit. And so
– good. See, to me, that I like that. Anyway.
And it's like, okay, so their song is just – it's just fucking rocking. It's like I can't stand it. I just love it. And then so I decided, you know, I have no idea what this dude is saying. He's singing in English, but I can't hear him, so I'm going to go – read the lyrics. And then it's got lines like this. Take me home. A dark seed reigns in me. Like the storm rules over the sea. I challenge thee. Do not cross this bridge alone. And I'm like, what the fuck? Is that what you're singing about? This is a song about this guy.
And you're disappointed.
Yeah. I'm just like, what the hell? This dude. And I guess the lyrics are about some dude who's fighting a battle and he has to fight because his lord tells him to, that like lord of the realm, not the god lord. And it's just like, I liked it better when I didn't know what was going on. So, yes, songs where they're singing in a different language. There you go. Like, you get the voice, because the voice is a beautiful instrument. But then you don't have to worry about accidentally hearing how stupid the words are. I am really a stuck-up shithead. I know that I'm an asshole. I'm very picky about writing, and I just feel like 99.9% of the people out there who are musicians are so good at creating music that their brain has no room left over to be even halfway good at writing words. So that's what it comes down to.
Well, and this is why, here's the grandpa thing again. I, you know, maybe this is grandpa now, but holy shit. You know what? Ryan just walked into the actual studio.
All right, Ryan, what's up, brother?
I think he's going to join us in a little bit, but he's got some things to do. He's going to – I don't know if you can hear him shuffling around in the background, but here he is.
Okay.
Maybe he'll join the conversation here in a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I was talking about grandpa shit here. I need to get this thought out.
Get this thought out, Joe, but I just want you to know we're at minute 30, so we have to do some ads and shit. So just
– Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Just to let you know. A little time check there.
No, that's good. That is your job, and you do it well.
Well, Jamie Jenner told me, and she wrote it on her ass and mooned me. So thanks for that, Jamie. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I feel like really good lyricists. My favorite lyricists are. They're not new artists.
They've been around for a while.
Right, and even I really like Martin Sexton. I might have even brought that up on one of our other music podcasts. I like his lyrics. They're kind of storytelling, the way the melody comes through, and he's a very, very good singer. Now, you put all those things together, that's great. I think Cat Stevens is really good. I think maybe this gives you an idea of what I really appreciate. Like I think Cat Stevens is good. I think that Jim Croce was awesome. Mm-hmm. There's this the way the melody kind of like clicked in with the story that they were telling, and it becomes poetic, like real poetry. And a lot of music is just not poetry. And I think that's what you're saying. You're like, oh, what is this? What did they just say? You know, especially if you're listening to like a doom metal song, you're like, I don't know what the fuck they just said. And then you look it up and you read the lyrics. Now, you might be impressed, but I'm pretty sure most of the time you're going to be disappointed. Well, Martin Sexton is not disappointing. You read through his lyrics and actually you could strip all the music away from it and just read it as a poem and it would be engaging. Okay. I like that. Okay. I think that's great. And I think Cat Stevens, he really did a great job. Actually, Bob Dylan could barely fucking sing at all, but some of his songs are just good stories. They're just the meter, like it really is about kind of the rhythm, and not that he's singing well, but the style of the sound, the timbre of his voice, not that he's a good singer, but just the personality that comes through of his voice is cool.
Well,
I just wanted to say that I don't want to disparage singing, and
I do.
I know you do, but I'm just saying. These days, I don't seek out good lyricists, and I don't want. Maybe this is a thing. When I was younger, I liked to hear people express feelings that I might relate to through their lyrics. And I'm not fucking interested in that anymore. If I want to express myself, I do it on this podcast or I do it otherwise. I do it in conversation. I don't need or want or care about other people expressing how I feel or like reflecting how I feel in their lyrics anymore. And I'm thinking out loud here. My God, I think I just had a breakthrough.
Okay, hey, you're welcome. You don't owe me any money for that therapy session.
Okay.
Nice.
Anyway, Jason, tell me that I'm a fucking idiot.
You're a fucking idiot, but so am I. Oh. No, look, I think that, like, maybe we can cap it like this. There are as many different kinds of music as almost as many people as there are out there, and even two people who are very much alike listening to the same song. You and I, for example, listening to Tool, we can walk away with it. Having a different experience. And that's true for literature. It's true for music. And like a Bob Dylan, who I think his gift is, he's like, okay, let me see what I've got here. And I'm going to put it all together in a way that it fits. So in as much as his voice maybe isn't that great, he found a way to feature his voice with his words and with his the stories he's telling and the songs he put together. And
the style. I mean, his vocal style. It's not like he's a technically awesome singer. He just had a really good
Yeah, he vocal made it work. Style. That's his genius. Is he took what he had and he made it work. He created a prototype. A lot of people recognized that this is a way that we can make the best of what we have, and the best of what we have is actually the best that there is for that thing. Anyway, I'm rambling. We're at minute 35. We should do some shit to pay for this shit.
Do we have a Larko? Is it yep. music themed?
We have a Larko. I don't know if it's music themed. I haven't read it yet.
Of course, you don't know. Spring it on you at the last minute.
That's what they do.
You always do a good job trying to pull this shit together. Go ahead, Jason.
Should I do the Larko? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
I have to go pee.
Anybody who's ever potty trained a toddler will tell you it sucks balls. One day you run out of paper towels, the next day you're renting a steam cleaner for the carpet, and then later in the week you're having an argument with CPS because apparently a garage is not a safe place for a child to sleep. But it pays off eventually in no more dirty diapers. You think it's bad when they're two? Try dealing with a load an 8-year-old can drop. We're talking Midwestern cow ranch. You do not want to change that diaper, trust me. They do not make a diaper cleaner to handle that kind of volume or that kind of stench. But it's not all flowers and sunshine, sweet buns. Before, the little shit would just shit and you'd get around to changing him when your beer was empty and you were on your way to get another. Now you've got to be on call, ready to swoop in, swoop up, drop trowel, and point the little piss monster at the approved receptacle. Yes, I know the sink is handy, but your wife is going to sentence you to a month on the couch if you do that again, especially when it's full of dishes. And as an aside, don't try this if your wife snores and you're looking for an excuse to get some sleep elsewhere. She knows all of your tricks. Of course, the key sign that your little one's got to see a man about a horse or open a tiny peach stall or whatever the hell the kids call it these days is the pee-pee dance. And it's so darn cute. But there's something missing, isn't there? What good is a dance without music? Introducing the Tiny Pee-Pee Dancer by Larko. This small high-fidelity speaker clips onto your child's waistband or can be worn as a necklace. Sensitive instruments monitor your child's heart rate, respiratory rate, and skin conductivity, just like a lie detector. If all systems are go and your child begins to bob up and down rhythmically, Tiny Pee Pee Dancer provides the soundtrack. Of course, there's more types of dance music than you can shake a training taser at, and Larko has them all. Your Tiny Pee Pee Dancer can play dubstep, disco, all of Wang Chung's radio hits, or, of course, Ariana Grande. Sound like fun? That's because it is. And when the groove's too good to stop, who cares if your little monster soaks his dungarees? Break out your camera, unless CPS is still following you on Instagram, and have a ball. Order a Tiny Pee Pee Dancer today, or if you have twins, order two and have yourself a little dance competition. Or order a few dozen. Go down to your kid's preschool with a couple gallons jugs of Kool-Aid and start your own kiddie rave. Film it and become a YouTube famous sensation. Isn't that why you had a kid in the first place? Excuse me. You can use our code JBC when you buy online, and Larko will give you 50% off our clip-on speaker for your older kids. Smells like teen needs to help around the house, which you lock to your offspring's ankle, and it plays Air Supply and Villy Manili until they get their chores done. Get your kid the gift that gets him grooving when needs to go. Get him Tiny PP Dancer.
Jason. That was a great performance. Now give me a big old fucking cough. Get that. Come on.
Yeah, I did. I hit mute and tried to cough it out. Jesus Christ. What the fuck just happened? I apologize,
hey, look,
audience.
When we're recording live to hard drive, you know, you got to do your best. And you did well. That was fucking good.
Thank you.
And you know, I'm obligated to say this, but I really like the product.
It's a good product.
And I use it myself.
You do, even though you don't have a kid, and I do, and I. All right, do you have a? Excuse me, I'm going to hit mute and cough while you read your ad.
I'm going to need your help with this. Why don't you just give it a cough right into the fucking microphone?
I've been hitting mute. I've been a good engineer here. Well, I say I've been hitting mute every time. Oh, Jesus, I'm about to barf up my lunch. Every time Jamie Jenner sees me turn pink, she hits the mute button. So she's actually doing her job for a change. Yes, I see your middle finger, Jamie. Yes, real cute. Okay, now take it out of your nose. She's worse than my kid, I tell you what.
Every time I think about Jamie Jenner, and I know that she's the, quote, engineer, unquote, yeah, of the show, I always think about her twerking naked. This is not a sexual thing.
No, not.
In fact, Jesus. I'm disgusted by it.
Yes.
It's if I understand how she looks and who she is inside. She's twerking naked, and there's offensive tattoos on her butt cheeks, and it's in her glass cage, basically, and it's filled with smoke because she's not really doing her job. She's smoking weed, and then when the smoke clears, it's her naked butt twerking, and she does this all to antagonize you.
She does.
And I resent that.
I resent it too. She likes to, like I said, she gave me the time check by writing the time on her ass and then mooning me. Sometimes that's what she does. She's like, you know, fuck the microphone. I'm just gonna tell you via my ass. Look, I'm getting us off on a tangent. She's okay. Actually doing a pretty good job tonight.
Well, let me tell you just a little story about our first music episode.
Yes.
Okay. Our first music episode, I was able to I brought some material to the episode. I wish I would have the episode number so our listener Ian could go back and confirm what I'm about to say. But this really happened. I was trying to make an ad the ad was not coming through. And so what I did was, on our first music episode, I had to basically just foreshadow and talk about what a shitty podcast. And it's not any better. That's the problem. It's the exact same situation. So the first music episode, there was not an ad prepared, but I knew what the product was. So the ad was a stupid flat, like, please buy this product. And then on the next episode, I actually presented the ad.
Okay.
And it wasn't even the music episode.
No.
So damn. Hey, it's embarrassing. But anyway, just keep that in mind, and I have an ad.
Okay.
Buy the Wurlitzer Baby Grand Piano.
Yeah, that was...
It's like fucking deja vu.
It is. You know what? This is going to freak your tits out, Joe. Deja vu. Do you know when our first music episode was published to the world?
No.
March 23rd, 2017.
Are you fuck... Jason.
I'm not...
Really?
Yeah, that's what the internet's telling
me
right
now. So we did that on accident this year.
Yeah.
Our second year of podcasting.
Yeah.
Then I had the... All right.
JBC9.
Nobody gives a shit about this. And not even Ian. Ian doesn't care. Ian's rolling his fucking eyes. Ian's eyes have rolled out of his skull and down the road. The exact same thing happened to me last year where I wanted to present. I'm not kidding. On the same fucking day? This is the anniversary of my embarrassment.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to present an ad, but I couldn't. And so anyway, a year ago, I said this. You know what? Let me do a flashback. Give me the intro. Give me the ad intro, and I'll do exactly what I did last year, exactly 1 year ago.
All right, here we go.
By Gibson SG.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know whether to be impressed or disgusted, but I love you, Jason.
Thanks for
being a part of this piece of shit with me.
This shit wouldn't be shit without the shit we shit together, or something.
Okay.
Yeah, it was called.
So,
it was.
So where are we at? You are the minute guy. Tell me what the minutes are.
Right when you asked that, we were at minute 44, second 44, and now we're at minute 44, 50 seconds. But, do you want to redeem yourself by doing something else that you may have prepared?
Here, let's banter just for a second. Okay, now, you might have heard friend Ryan, and he's been on the podcast before. Yeah. Ryan,
he's good people.
I knew he was coming over. Full disclosure, like this means anything, like anybody needs to know this. But we do it on Friday night. So my wife oftentimes is like hosting some sort of party outside of the studio.
Yeah.
Garage. The studio.
The studio garage. Yeah.
Yeah. And Ryan, the last time he was on here, it made me laugh out loud. And so I was like, hey, man, if you want to do a little segment here and there. And he has a beautiful, rich voice. Remember Ryan's voice?
He does.
I mean, he's got a face for radio. And anyway, he's out there. He's drinking with all the girls right now. They're just waiting. No, they don't give a fuck. They party all night long without me, and they wouldn't even care. They don't even know. They know I'm doing a podcast, but they certainly don't care. Here's the thing. Ryan was like, yeah, well, come in, jump in. So let's banter. I'm going to text Ryan and ask him to come in.
Okay.
Why don't you start a banter topic some kind? You're good at that.
I could read the news if you want. I got
news. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Just real quick. I know we're running out of time.
No, it's fine. I don't have to read all of it, but I can do the fucking news segment. All right, sure. Why not? Good evening. Today is Friday, March 23rd. I'm Jason Mark, and this is JBC News. Facebook has been under heavy fire recently, stemming from allegations that it gave user data to research firm Cambridge Analytica. Hipsters who do not use Facebook, when told about this, responded, yeah, I still use MySpace, and we get our info stolen from firms you've probably never even heard of. Toyota has announced that their 2019 line will include a redesigned Corolla hatchback. This in response to an uptick in abstinence education and the need to give teens vehicles that will ensure they never get laid. March Madness is in full swing, with the NCAA basketball tournament already down to the final 16 teams. Upsets so far include 9 seed Florida State eliminating number 1 seed Xavier, number 7 Texas A&M over number 2 North Carolina, and number 11 Syracuse over number 3 Michigan State. When asked how he felt about these upsets, a player for Xavier said, I'm fine with it. Now Florida State can play for free and make hundreds of million dollars for fat old white men. Tiangong 1, the abandoned Chinese space station, is due to fall from orbit sometime next week. In anticipation of the event, NASA is sending information packets to all families in red states and counties to reassure them that the space station's falling was planned and has nothing to do with the fact that it was made in China. A woman in Spain died last week after her organs failed as a result of a reaction from undergoing bee sting acupuncture therapy for 2 years. Bee sting therapy is said to relieve the symptoms of arthritis and MS and has been endorsed by Gwyneth Paltrow. In an unrelated story, a woman in Kentucky is filing for divorce and asking that her husband be charged with attempted homicide after he gifted her with every book Paltrow has ever written. The United States is getting fatter. A large-scale federal survey has found that 40% of Americans are obese and nearly 8% are severely obese. Another study published by the junior class of Torrey Pines High School found that 2% of Americans are also majorly obese, 1% are ridiculously obese, and 0.4% are like who that Weird Al guy was singing about in that song. President Trump has renounced his veto threat and avoided another government shutdown by signing a congressional spending bill. Trump initially resisted the bill for being rushed through and largely unread by the congresspersons who voted on it. Trump relented when it was pointed out to him that most of his voters cannot read at all. In more Washington news, John Bolton, no relation to 80s pop sensation Michael, is getting ready to be the next national security advisor. Political analysts agree that this appointment makes as much sense as appointing Vladimir Putin to be head of the CIA. In other words, Bolton will fit in perfectly with the rest of the the Trump cabinet. An article in the Wall Street Journal claims that scrunchies, those poofy elastic hair ties, are back and refer to their use by Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg as proof. Middle and upper class white people were particularly delighted by the article, as it meant they didn't have to read about the school shooting in Maryland, the racially motivated bombings in Austin, or the young man in Sacramento who was shot 20 times by police for holding a cell phone in his own backyard. Heavy, trading on Wall Street today as a hologram of the late rapper, was the guest of honor at the Dow Jones Ironic Hip Hop Parade. This has been JBC News. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Jason.
Not my best effort, but.
You know what? I just fucking love the news. I'm glad that. There it is. It is the fucking news segment. And you had one. You didn't even tell me that. Yeah. That's part of the fucking show.
Part of
the
fun.
You surprised me again. Well, let's see.
You surprise me now. Okay,
I will. I will surprise you.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah? Do we lose you? Oh, no. The Yeti. The Yeti finally died.
Can you hear me?
Almost. Yes. Now. Go.
No. Go. Here. I knew this would happen. I knew this would happen, motherfucker. Hold on a second.
The Yeti doesn't want Ryan to steal the show.
Jason, talk.
Okay, so anyway, I was sitting there minding my own goddamn business when out of nowhere, this dude walks up and he's like, hey, man, can I borrow a dollar? And I was like, what do you mean borrow? Like, you're going to give it back to me? And he's like, yeah, I'm literally going to give it back to you. You set me up with an interest rate and I will pay you back the dollar plus interest. I'm thinking in small incremental payments once per week, maybe like 5 cents at a time until eventually not only got your dollar back, you actually got it on an extra dollar. And I was like, that's great. A super duper return on investment. What are you going to do with the dollar? And he said, that's none of your fucking business. And then I hoped that Joe would come back onto the podcast to relieve me from telling this stupid story, but he didn't. So
and I am here to relieve you from Jesus the stupid Christ. Story. God damn it, you are talented, sir. Now,
I was enthralled.
Listen, we've overcome the technical difficulties.
Well done, sirs.
By the way, this is our 60th show. You'd think we'd be able to fucking rein this in somehow. And somehow we have.
Somehow.
Here we are. We are back, and I am bringing to you, Jason.
Yes.
My friend Ryan. Say hello, Ryan.
Oh, geez.
Hello, Jason. Good to talk to you again today.
Hey, Ryan. I need to get Ryan's intro music up. Stupid.
Yes, I need my helmet.
Again, yeah. You asked me to surprise you. I surprised you with Ryan.
You did.
He's got Ryan intro music. All right. My surprise fucked that up. So here we go.
Well, hey, no, not quite. Ryan. Last time I did that, you didn't seem to be too enthused, so because I've already fucked this up, tell me what you want your music to be, and then I'll play it. What do you like?
Interesting. What would you like, Ryan? This is the behind-the-scenes shit that we really, do in front of the scenes all the time.
This is surprising. This is like, because this means something, because this is going to be my intro music forever now.
That's right.
Stuff that there's a lot behind this.
Ryan, every single time that you're on... He's going to play this, so make it good.
Here's a suggestion. Tell me if you like this one. I got to turn it up, I think.
He's just going to play I like this. I like this.
Everybody, welcome to the studio. Ryan.
No. I'm not happy with chocolate rain, to be honest.
Okay. All right.
Actually, could I get the Magnum theme, the Magnum PI theme?
I think we could do that. Let's see if we can find something. And let's also hope that the YouTube doesn't decide to fucking play an
chocolate
ad first.
Rain. Ryan is.
Well, let's crank that. Ladies, put a sponge down the front of your pants to catch the juices. Ryan is here.
That's right. I also have a mustache, and I'm pretty sure my dad was Tom Selleck at one point.
I like it.
Holy shit, I think we've got it. Good job, fellas.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well done.
So we're
sir.
Discussing music tonight, huh?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yes. As well as we can.
Joe, do you notice that when Ryan's on the show, you and I, we try to improve our voice? I'm like, that's correct.
Listen, Jason, I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Ryan. Yeah.
Yes, Ryan.
Welcome, Ryan, to the show. Ryan, do you have anything to say?
Ryan, with that voice, actually, are you in a band? Do you sing? You must be a good singer.
He actually is a very good singer.
Yeah.
I have a crippling stage fright that actually, other than very drunk in karaoke, the world beyond Joe and a select few do not hear.
Let me tell you a little story.
Yeah.
I hope you don't mind, Ryan.
No, this is actually a fantastic story.
And it's completely right there with the theme of music. We had a really good time 1 year, maybe 2 years, where we did a little bit of a bar hop, and I think people wanted to kill us, actually.
Quite a bar hop. So a holiday party, got a little drunk, and a lot of singing started with people holding.
Uh-oh. You guys cut out again. No, right when the story's going to get holding what? Their
Hold
dicks?
On.
Holding what? Like candles to in the wind? Oh, no. You guys back yet?
Okay.
We're back. I apologize for that.
Audience, I just want to tell you that Joe insists I get this fucking microphone. He's like threatened to buy one for me. And listen to what happens.
I know, every time. I never hear you cut out.
No.
You have music?
Yes. But yes,
he's getting very angry next to me about the microphone. So I'll continue the story. So we, you know, as older people in their 30s do, after a couple drinks, we just started caroling. Mm-hmm. And Joe, I, and a very early relationship, Paula, I think,
Yeah, Paula.
Yeah. Very early relationship. Paula joined us as we walked into our favorite bar, loudly singing the 12 Days of Christmas, but hitting the note of Five Golden Rings and singing the entire song in a ridiculous English accent, loudly, and going through everything and not stopping, and people stopped what they were doing and started listening to us and joined in.
Yeah.
Again, I think there were some stops that we made where people were just scowling at us and ready to like strangle us with their bare hands. But some of those bars, let's do Five Golden Rings really quick just to give you a taste there, Jason.
Well, I got to back up a little bit. I don't want to actually blow out the microphone.
No,
the
microophone. Okay. Yeah, clearly,
when you're hung like that, you don't ask her to jump right on. You warm her up a little bit. So here, let me turn off the background music. Yeah, go ahead.
Five golden rings.
That just, you know, it's like Bing Crosby. It's just Bing Crosby. It's all I got. It's just Bing Crosby. Bang, bang, bada bang. You guys.
Yeah. We could do Drummer Boy and you could be...
Geez, no.
You could be David Bowie.
You know what should do? You guys should start a band called Crippling Stage Fright.
He's famous. Song of all time. We were bitching about Christmas songs, and that was his number one fuck that Christmas song.
Oh, you didn't know that? You just pulled that out of your ass?
I didn't know that. That was not just a razz.
No, when I bring friends on, Jason, they are simpatico. It's that word too. Anyway,
you,
so
Joey.
Here we are. Right. Okay. So now we bring Ryan on, and I don't know, Ryan. The last time you were on the show, you did something that was so fucking funny. Do you have another example of that, or should we wait for another show, or do you just kind of want to banter with us? Like, what do you think? What do
you know? Doing? That was like I was just in the moment right then, and I was actually really angry at Shags for stealing my thunder by talking about the subject I wanted to talk about. That the passion and anger that came through, I think, really made the performance. So I basically wanted to talk to you guys about music because I love music. I know Joe's very serious about music. Jason, are you really serious about music in terms of what you like? You know,
not
critical, not, but, you know, you have a real sense of what's good and what's bad.
Oh, he's
no,
critical.
No, not really. I mean, you know, I listen to a song every now and again, you know, maybe some Taylor Swift if it happens to be on the radio. But no, music's just not my bag. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Bullshit.
Yeah, that's complete bullshit. Music is.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Sorry, dude.
Well, I was kind of inspired because I was watching some Netflix, and I started thinking about how much Kenny logged.
Oh, no. Again, right when he said logins, I think you're.
I know. Well, look, Kenny Loggins is what fucked it up this time.
Kenny Loggins.
Son of bitches.
God damn it, Kenny Loggins. You fucked up Joe's microphone.
Right?
Like Kenny Loggins and then cut off. That's the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Like Kenny Loggins, he did everything. He did like half the soundtracks for all the 80s movies that we all are like, oh, that was so great. And it didn't matter what it was. Top Gun, Footloose, Caddyshack. I mean, he's got and playing, his songs are crazy.
Playing with the boys.
Sorry, Ryan's sitting right next to me. I'm feeling a little bit gay.
Do you know how old Kenny Loggins is?
80. 70.
He's 70. He's 70. Fucker, 70.
Thank you.
Wow. 70. And you're right. He has been around forever. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page right now. And you're right. I've called you Martin. I don't know why. Because Martin Sexton's actually in Sacramento tonight. And I know people there. So, fun coincidence. But you're right, Ryan. Kenny Loggins did sing us through the 80s in every movie you ever saw.
Yeah, it's true.
Footloose, and, Top Gun, so Caddyshack 2.
Ryan, continue. I have a feeling that Ryan...
Well, no, and it just really made me think more and more about how just that 80s music in terms of, you know, it's like, what can we take from, like, the great R&B days and turn it into something crappy with synthesizers? So, you know, and that was the beautiful thing. And even, you know, even my, you know, I'm from New Jersey, so we're pretty much by law required to love Bruce Springsteen and Bon Jovi.
Yes.
But even Bon Jovi, which is supposed to be kind of hard rock, they synth the shit out of everything they do. I mean, everything, everything.
But I'm getting a little confused. Are you into the synthing of things?
I mean, that is an 80s aesthetic. No, I just love the fact that they just looked at everything and they're like, we're going to put this shitty Casio background music to it and it's going to be cool and people will lose their minds over it. And people did lose their minds over it. We love that shit. It's just like now. What was it, like 20 years ago? They came out with a dance hall version of the Grease song, and old people lost their shit. They were like, this is so cool.
I think it's really weird.
Well, that was me.
You can't even, like, attribute – well, you can't blame John Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi, that was a fucking real drum set. They always had a real drum set. But what you're talking about, Ryan, is true. Actually, some of these bands, some of these endeavors were based on, fuck a real drum set. I want a Casio drum beat. Oh, wait, what is it? Yes. All right, Ryan's going to hit the note.
No. We have the wrong person for that particular note here.
No, we dropped.
You keep dropping out. You still there? Hello?
Hold on.
Hey, just keep playing Aha.
I'll just keep playing Aha. Yeah. Actually, I tried to skip forward, but yeah, YouTube is making me listen to ads, so instead I will play this. Okay.
Okay.
I won't.
That's me. I keep touching the table. And
don't touch the table, Ryan. Everybody knows that. It's
a operation here that balances everything.
Yeah, it's sophisticated as shit. Let me tell you, remember when Dad was on his first podcast, he couldn't stop banging the table? There's something about it. You want to bang the table. I don't know what it is. And this, my very, very expensive microphone can't handle.
You just don't know what to do. Yeah. No, you're right, Joe. Or not Joe. You're right, Ryan. The 80s, man, I mean, we should do a whole show about music I hate because it starts in the 80s and pretty much ends there.
Hats.
I mean, I don't know.
Great. I mean, there's like a whole, there's this whole bandwidth of just stuff that is awful, but you like listening to it because it reminds you of this stupid time when, you know, I was eight. So yeah, it's like,
it's not
that was
good.
Yeah, it's not
just,
good.
It's associated with these moments of joy as you grow up and you feel joy. And then these synth fucking shitty songs are in the background and they're good forever.
Yeah, it really crystallized because I heard the original Lean On Me this morning on the way to work. And then on the way home, I heard the 80s version, which is
so
really
bad.
Just made me angry in for a totally irrational way, especially since my favorite songs are bad cover songs. Give me the Goops doing Cheap Trick. Give me the Lemonheads covering Simon Garfunkel.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, give me those terrible cover songs. I love that shit, but I mean, oh man, that just made me mad.
You know what? I think this is a really good segue, Jason. Are you still there?
I am.
My
right
microphone
here.
Is still working, so yeah. Ryan and I are still here, and you're not having to like pick up some weird slack. Let me tell you this. Remember a couple episodes ago, I said I got a fever, and the only prescription, is less Foreigner. Hey, you remember that?
I do, yeah.
All right, arguments for cancellation now.
So we're going to do arguments for cancellation now?
Yeah, we are.
We are? Where are we going to do arguments for cancellation now?
Yeah, right now.
Are we going to do arguments for cancellation right now?
Yeah, why don't you walk us through it, Jason? I would like an intro, if you don't mind. Ryan's going to stick with us for this. Welcome. Move forward to this, the third edition of the Music JBC Arguments for Cancellation. I don't have to explain this at all. If we make it halfway through what you're about to play, Jason, without you shutting down this particular podcast and then the entire podcast...
And
forever.
All of podcasting around the world.
Yes. You will shut down This American Life. You will shut down, Radiolab, everything. All podcasting will be destroyed by this piece of shit. Hit it.
I want you to take a little time to wrap your lips around my boner. I'm gonna ask you 15 times before this filthy song is over. Unzip my fly. Take my cock in your hand. Start out slow, then fuck your face with my dick. Don't stop now, my shaft is so hard. Take this song tonight.
This fugitive.
I wanna show you my dick. I want you to blow me. Want you to swallow my jizz. Eat my bologna.
I don't know if I can make it to the end of this. I'm embarrassed.
Well, I've got a boner.
Now in and out a million times until my load is blown all over. Now give me just 10 minutes time and then again I will be horny. Unzip my fly. Masturbate my big wing. Swallow me whole. Then masturbate me again. Foam at the mouth. Then slather my nards. Gag on this bone tonight. I wanna show you my dick. I want you to blow me. I want you to swallow my jeans.
I can't even make it to the end of this. This is terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
No, this is wonderful. I haven't heard this since you sung this to Paula at the engagement party.
I'll tell you what, Joe. If this is the result of you doing a podcast, is this what it's come to? Then you have fucking convinced me.
I think you just fucking convinced me.
Actually, I think I just gave myself, I would like to give myself the award for that is the worst obscenitized song. We made it all the way through, but yeah. Oh, shit.
No, that was, look, full disclosure for the audience, and look, also, by the way, we're 10 minutes over, but that's cool.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how good our show is. We just can't stop. Joe. Joe gave me a call the other day, and he's like, "I'm scared of what I've done. I've created a monster, and I'm pretty sure it's going to get." He was serious too. He was like, "I'm pretty sure everyone's going to stop listening and hate us forever, and you know, kill themselves." And I was expecting, Joe, I'm being frank with you. I'm a little disappointed because that was delightful. That was charming. It was cute.
Yeah.
It was charming. Very, yeah.
It was in key.
I thought you were going to be doing a song about how, like,
at least give you that.
Like, you cut a prostitute's head off and you ear fucked her until, you know, I expected way worse. It was a song about blowjobs. I mean, who doesn't like?
Well, that's all. That's it. I didn't go outside of that. It's almost like, here, before we wrap up the show, I thought I had a good idea. Again, it wasn't a good idea, and this is why the podcast should end. But Roadrunner, the Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner show, is good because they don't go out of their lane. It's always this, it's yes. What they don't do that makes that show good. It's always the fucking same thing.
Yes.
They don't ever go outside of that. It's a starving fucking coyote. He sends away for some apparatus to try and destroy and eat the bird. The bird gets away with it. The bird fucking says, fuck you. And that's great. See, I thought it would be good if I obscenitized a song and I stayed in my lane like the Roadrunner, and it's all about blowjobs. I didn't go off into, like, you know, I want to fuck your mom's teeth. I didn't go there.
No, that's actually very true, because they later turn Wile E. Coyote into some weird gay British stereotype.
Super genius.
Yes.
Anyway. You understand my concern. I did call Jason the other night. I've obscenitized many songs. This one, I'm not proud of. And is it going to make, at the end of the year, am I going to put it in the top four? I don't think so. And anyway, we're not going to make it to there because this show's over.
This show is over. I want to thank Ryan for coming on the show. And Ryan, next time, Ryan, show up earlier, because you are delightful. And I don't mean that in a, you know, I want you to blow me kind of way. I mean that in a genuine, please be on the show more. Joe, it was great having you here, always. Hey, guys, I needed to confess something. I just accidentally discovered this is not show 60, this is show 59. Really sorry about that.
What did I say earlier?
Yeah, you did. You said sorry. Oh, yeah. Good night.
Good night, Jason. 59 is meaningless. Put it all over your body.
Bruce Dickinson is 59. Fabio is 59.
Keep going.
Kate LeBlanc, 59. Peace.
Mike Cox, 59 centimeters. Being generous. I have a secret song, Jason.
Yeah? What's that?
Gotta wait till the end of the rug's out. Can you take 4 inches? I want you to blow me. Good night.